Straight Up with Stassi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stassi Schroeder.
She's the star of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules.
I'm here to talk about pop culture, reality TV, celeb gossip, relationships.
Stassi's new podcast is a hilarious look at the world and everyone in it.
I want to give my opinion on everything.
And she's never one to hold back on any topic.
Because that's what I do best. Judge.
This is Straight Up with Stassi.
Tracarus, bitches. Wait, have we talked about... I just like to go into things.
Of course.
Do you watch Game of Thrones? Did we talk about this last week?
I don't watch it avidly. I've seen episodes here and there. Yeah, my boyfriend's a huge, huge fan. So I understand bits and pieces of what's happening. I watched some of the episodes last season, but I'm not like... fully immersed.
Are you for... I don't understand.
I know you are.
But I don't understand how someone can just be a fair weathered...
I know.
Game of Thrones. It's so amazing that if you see it once, you...
I'm with you. I fully fundamentally understand why people love Game of Thrones. I think it's because I didn't start watching it. My ex-boyfriend watched it and I would like see an episode here and there and it was just too... rich of an environment to get caught up in or get caught up on that I was like, okay, this is a lot for my brain to handle. I'm going to stick to reality television for a bit and then like maybe come back and get caught up. And then I saw The Red Wedding and it ruined me from going back and watching anything. So I was like, that's a spoiler.
That is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So unfortunate. Okay. This is what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Before I give you your introduction.
Okay.
I think that you've been given this gift,
mm-hmm.
like that you haven't seen everything.
Yeah, I'm still a virgin in that area.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that what you should do is watch it on your like computer.
Yeah.
In your bed or something.
Right.
Stick headphones in and put on closed captioning. And then have your phone around
just
so
recording.
That you can
or get caught up.
You can pause it and look up things.
Yeah.
And it's a whole you feel like you're in it. It's like interactive.
True, true, true. But see, I saw a bunch of episodes last season. I cannot remember if I saw the very last episode. I'm pretty sure.
See, then it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
I'm saying start from the absolute beginning. I've started from the beginning a million times. I rewatch and
see,
rewatch.
I'm not one of those people that rewatches like full seasons or full like... you know, chapters of stuff that I like. I can't rewatch movies, even if I love them. It feels so
weird.
Because I know what's going to happen.
Exactly. It's so comforting. I love to know what's going to happen. I would actually prefer to, like, the first time I'm seeing a movie, to know what's going to happen.
Well, see, I'm also not, and I've gotten better, but I'm not a good movie watcher. I didn't grow up watching movies. And so my attention span, or like the first thing that comes to mind when someone says, do you want to watch a movie? I go, I can't. Like dedicate that concentrated amount of time to just watching a movie, which is nuts because I'll watch a full Netflix series, like binge for 6 hours. But the idea of watching a movie for an hour and a half is like, no, I'd rather
be
doing.
You are so fucking weird.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Helbig.
Yay!
Oh, my goodness. So I have her here and I did her podcast a couple weeks back.
Yes.
Not too deep. And I like you a lot.
Vice versa.
I think you're really fucking funny, and I fell into a deep hole of your YouTube videos yesterday.
No, yeah, there's a lot of them.
I want to know how you describe what you are, because you're way more successful than anyone I know, but I don't know how to say it, because you do so much. You're a superstar?
No. No. But that's that's the thing about being, quote, like a YouTuber, is that people always ask, like, how do you describe what you do?
Yeah.
And because you end up doing a lot of different things.
Yes.
I don't think I do one thing very, very well. Like certain like people that are directors do that one thing very well.
You're yourself very well.
Thanks. Yeah. I think you just sort of... hey, get it.
I hate when that happens in public. Sorry.
No worries. I think, yeah, you end up like wearing a bunch of hats. I think it's best to say entertainer because it's kind of like across the board.
Because it's like you're kind of like a comedian.
Yeah.
You're also an actor. You do your own videos. You've hosted shows.
Yeah.
You do live shows.
Well, I started out doing improv comedy in New York like 8 or 9 years ago. And that's where I met my best friend, Mamrie Hart. And I was doing the whole, like, doing improv shows, like, 3 or 4 times a week, auditioning for commercials and TV and film, and yeah. just getting, like, no, 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 no. And then decided that's, like, when YouTube kind of started. And so my roommate and I at the time, we had just graduated college and moved to Brooklyn, started making videos just for fun. We would come back at the end of the day from working and sit down in front of our computer because we didn't have cameras. We just used a little eyesight on our, like, MacBook computers.
Yeah.
And would film ourselves and edit these vlogs together and just post them for fun because she was trying to get into editing. And so, yeah, we did that. And then this website found our videos and asked me to come host a series for them in like 2008, and then just started making YouTube videos since then, and all these other like opportunities started happening. But it was crazy when it first started because YouTube was like in the comedy world seen as this very sort of embarrassing thing, like a lesser form of comedy.
Wait, so I was gonna, this is one of my questions that yeah. I was gonna ask you, because you know in every single world mm-hmm. it's clicky and there are different stereotypes about with how people are, like, okay, certain, you know, reality people or right. like fashion bloggers, they're the right. fucking worst. Oh, fashion bloggers suck oh, ass. And then okay, there's the comedy world, but then the YouTube world, like,
yeah, and the YouTube world kind of combines all of those things, which is back in like 2008 2009, I sort of hid the idea that I was making YouTube videos from any of my comedy friends because it was seen as this like lesser form of comedy. And in my brain, the only way to become a Tina Fey or Amy Poehler was to make my own TV show or like get on SNL.
Yeah.
And so it was really embarrassing until one day I started selling like merch of a t-shirt with a slogan on it that used to say years ago, because that's what everyone started doing to make like some extra money. And one time during an improv show, they like, call our team out, we run out, and in the front row was a girl wearing the shirt. And I was like, oh my God, my two worlds are now colliding. This is so embarrassing.
Oh my God, it's like being caught cheating.
Yeah.
It's like if you were making out with another dude at a bar and someone, it's very like Housewives yeah. of New York, like,
but in a really catching positive Wu-Yans. Way. Yeah. Which, by the way, you're talking to Dorinda today?
I am.
You haven't done it yet?
No.
Oh my God, I will follow up and I want to hear every single bit of information about her. I love her. Speaking of one of the greatest comedians of our time, Dorinda is fantastic.
She's so fucking nice. When I yeah. say she's one of the nicest housewives I've ever, top three uh-huh. nicest housewives I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes me so happy. Yeah. She just seems so genuine and she cares.
She is. She's exactly what she's like on TV.
That's really very, very reassuring to me. But yeah, it was one of those weird things. And then YouTube started to evolve into like this more legitimate platform. And then all the people that were in the comedy world are now figuring out how to like create a digital presence for themselves. And it's been really bizarre. It's been really strange. But yeah, I guess I describe myself just as entertainer because it's hard to hyphenate a bunch of different
things. Were your parents like, what the fuck do you... It's yeah. even hard for me because to yeah, explain... to my parents. I mean, yes, they know about Vanderpump Rules. They've been on it and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. it's hard when I'm to explain, like, because they're like, hey, so what are you going to do after this? Or like, what are you right. going to? I'm like, Mom, I'm fine. Dad, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing better than you're doing. I'm totally fine. I'm doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain
right.
this. But like my dad doesn't he's just now understanding like podcast. He's just now getting it.
That's really sweet. No, my parents in the beginning when I said that I made videos from my apartment in Brooklyn that went on the internet, they're like, you're a porn star. Great. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. We can't tell our friends this. And then they've been so supportive that it's like unbelievably sweet that they've figured it out as it's gone along. My mom's been in videos with me. My dad still doesn't like know how to get to the videos, but my stepmom like shows him.
Yeah.
But then I wrote a couple books and they got on New York Times bestseller list. And that was like their moment that they're like, we understand that. We can tell our friends that.
Yes.
Cool. But, that makes sense to us.
Wait, but how fucking amazing is that? Like, what does that feel like to be a New York Times number one? Your first one was number one.
Yeah, it's nuts. I cried. And it was because I was like on book tour, like in the middle of book tour, and found out and like cried in a hotel room by myself, was just like, this is nuts. And then you know, and you do the same thing where you have so many like pots on the stove that you're trying to like keep things going, mm-hmm. that you don't have a lot of time to reflect and like think like, I'm proud of myself. But occasionally you do look back and you're like, that was really fucking cool. And yeah, and when you hear like your parents actually understand something, then you're like, yes. Oh, that's nice. I feel an extra sense of pride for making them proud. Well, so yeah,
I feel like the right up there with the with you being God, that's like, I would love to just walk into every party and be like, I'm a New York Times bestseller.
Well,
it's
it's a really arbitrary, it's amazing, but it's also a really arbitrary way that they create the list. It's not,
I don't
based
give
on,
a shit. Well, I don't care.
But then it was a whole wave of YouTubers making books became this trend, and a lot of YouTubers are New York Times bestsellers, and so it became this weird thing in the literary world of like all these YouTubers writing books.
So now now in the literary world, that whole like that whole
I don't know
community
exactly.
Now then they don't like,
I don't know how they regard the standard of like New York Times bestsellers, because there was in the last like 3 years, 4 years, this wave of YouTubers writing books being like, oh, we can sell books now? Cool. I'm going to try and do that. I'll do that. And yeah, there was a lot of YouTubers that made the New York Times bestseller list that I think ruffled some feathers in like the actual literary world, but
who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's just people trying to be creative.
It's just the hustle.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna give this to you. Your Wikipedia is the longest fucking. It's longer than Marie Antoinette's. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. It is. It's like,
it stresses me out when I see it. I don't know who got. I mean, God bless whoever put it together.
I'm gonna talk to my publicist and be like, why the fuck isn't my Wikipedia like that?
It's so intense, and I've tried to go in and delete so many things. They used to have but it used to be so specific that they would have like, her parents got divorced when she was 2 years old and they remarried blah 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 blah, like X number of years later, and I was like, this is not what a Wikipedia page should say. None of this is interesting.
Well,
to
that
anyone.
Goes under personal life, right? That like in the but personal, like, in the
like,
personal.
My parents
section.
Don't want this online, and so it was that specific that I kept having to go in and be like, guys, I really appreciate you knowing all this stuff about me, but like, this is not necessarily to be like documented on Wikipedia, I don't think. Yeah, but it's so intense that it feels a little awkward.
No, it shows that you are a motherfucking hustler.
I guess, but
you
a lot
are
of this,
the definition of a hustler.
But it's a lot of the things that are on there are things like, like doing this podcast episode will go up under like stuff I've done in like awards and things like that. That it's like, everyone does this kind of stuff. Like, you're, if someone were to put down every single thing that you've done like in media, it would,
I'd look like a baller.
Yeah, it roll out the exact same way.
You know what, I want to trick everyone into thinking that I'm a baller.
There,
so I, that will be my next thing on my to-do list.
There you go.
Fix that fucking Wikipedia.
Do people even like consider Wikipedia pages? Like, every time I go and check a Wikipedia page before I interview anyone on my podcast, because I looked at yours too, I'm always second guessing what's true and what's not. So I'm always hesitant to use any information from Wikipedia, because I'm like, I know that there's a lot of like false information that gets put up there for jokes and shits and giggles and all of that. So I'm always like, I'm afraid to ask someone I don't know if this is
true. I didn't know that was, so I just found out that that's a thing.
That you can put fake stuff up.
Yes, because I've been tagged in this thing. I don't know if you remember this on Vanderpump Rules, with Sheena saying she's already come up with a name for her and Rob's future child, Madison Parks Valletta,
okay,
or whatever. So it became like this like little meme thing, and I would see it on Instagram. Like, uh-huh. People would joke, just make little jokes about it because it was weird.
Yeah.
And it, under her Wikipedia, people keep tagging me in this. It says future, or it says like unborn child, Madison Parks Valletta. I'm like, this is hysterical. Mm-hmm. How did someone get access? How did you... So that's a thing.
Yeah, you can just go in and hit edit on someone's page, and that
anyone can write in.
I'm pretty sure. I've never done it before, but that's what I understand.
Oh my God, I'm gonna write the weirdest shit.
You had
on
a big
mine.
Weekend ahead of you.
I am gonna write the weirdest shit all over my Wikipedia.
There you go. If it works, it's gonna be a really fun time. Plus, if it comes from you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just make it like, I'll do a list of likes.
Yeah.
Colon.
There you go.
Ranch dressing. The color blue.
Perfect.
Golden Girls. Oh, like, just random shit.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
Actually, it would
you're basically just turning it into a dating profile now.
Yes. I mean, well, you know, things don't work out with my current boyfriend, and
It seems like it's going really well.
No, it is. It's which I'm scared. I'm always.
Does that make you nervous?
Yes. Yeah. It makes me so nervous.
You're like, must find the problems. Where are the problems?
Oh yeah. I've tried picking fights and it never works out. Like it's like, diffused so quickly.
I'm out of methods to make this.
To make it. Yes. How long have you been with your current boyfriend?
Almost a year now.
Because I watched your video.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, everyone needs to go look. I just YouTubed your name. And yeah, that's how I found your page.
So yeah, I've been making YouTube videos for like 8 years. So when I say that I got hired by this company, it was this website called MyDamnChannel.com. And we created this series called Daily Grace together. And it meant that I was making videos only for their website in like 2008. I was going to make 5 videos a week, Monday through Friday, that like sat on their website because they had a bunch of other comedy music stuff on there. And it was just me talking every day to their audience, being like, did you guys like this episode of this? What about this? What do you want to see next? And then that started to evolve into me being able to do my own comedy bits in my videos. So that was 2 years where that series only lived on their website and not YouTube. And so in 2010, we moved that series over to YouTube. So I had a channel on YouTube called Daily Grace, and I was making 5 videos a week. And
that's a lot.
It was a lot.
And you have to edit them and stuff.
Yeah, I was doing it all myself. But the thing that sucked is that the whole series was owned by this company called My Damn Channel. And so when I realized that everyone else on YouTube owned their own content, I was like, oh, I'm fucked. I made a terrible deal with this company.
Right.
They own hundreds of videos that I've made, I've posted, I've edited, I've promoted, all of that. And so we tried to make a deal with them in like 2012. So that I could get ownership of my videos. And meanwhile, this YouTube channel, Daily Grace, had grown to like 2.4 million subscribers.
What the actual fuck?
Right. And so then I had to start over because they wouldn't give me ownership.
No way.
So I started a brand new channel in 2012, which is the one I have now, Grace Helbig. And so I had to start over from scratch. And it was like nuts and sad and a bummer. But the great thing was, like, I made a ton of friends with YouTubers, and I wasn't like legally allowed to talk about and didn't really want to talk about the business side of it. And so a lot of them just pushed all of their like promotion to this new channel. So it passed like 1 million subscribers in like the first month, which was amazing.
Are you joking?
There's hundreds of videos. If you Google my name, it's like overwhelming and kind of like annoying, but there's literally from the past, I made 5 videos a week for like 5 years straight. Yeah, something like that.
Like I said, hustler.
Yeah, nuts.
Screw what? What's the channel that I'm calling out that I want to drag?
It's called My Damn Channel, but they no longer exist. So it's all for the best. Then why?
But if it's still up there,
yeah. Somehow it's now called Daily You.
Daily You. No one, no one go to Daily You. Okay, mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah. But so yeah, there's a ton of content.
How do you even start and like grow and like get followers? How do people know to just look at your stuff? Like, how did you people just start looking at your stuff?
It's so different now. So all of my answers for that question now.
Oh my God.
So
that's the most basic question I could have asked, but no, I don't. And I know you probably have to answer it all the time, but
it's the same thing that you get with like, how do you get people, or how do you handle like people on your social media versus people watching on TV and that sort of thing? Like, how do you get people understanding who you really are and that it's edited and blah, blah, blah. It's basically, started making videos 'cause it was fun. It got paid because it became a job. Then just it was consistency. I was making them every day and uploading them at 10 a.m. So people, and then they kind of knew the same way that you watch a television show. Like, I know every day at 10 a.m. Daily Grace is going to have a video up. And then I made friends with my best friends, Hannah Hart and Mamrie Hart, and a bunch of other YouTubers. And so you collaborate with each other. You create videos for each other's channels. You cross promote, and audiences just slowly start to find you.
By like searching things?
Well,
like,
an audience grows. I mean, it's really word of mouth. It's like shareable content. So you
But to the amount of followers and viewers that you have, I mean, that's it was next level shit.
Yeah, it was slow over time. Like when you first started, every time I uploaded a video, I was like, this one's going to be the viral one. This one's going to be the one that gets me 2 million, 2 billion, followers. And it never happened, thank God, because people, other than Jenna Marbles, who to her, like, success created this viral video and has since maintained this like amazing career on YouTube, which is impossible to do because a lot of viral videos, people don't pay attention to who's doing them. They just pass it around and then they move on. I think in the beginning, it was about genuine personalities. Same with like reality television, right. That it's like you being yourself. People become fascinated by you. They feel like they have a conversation with you every day. They feel like they have a connection with you every day. And they come back because there is that two-way conversation. There's comments being left. You're responding to comments. It's not like TV. It's real people talking about like whatever they want to talk about. And then when Mamrie and Hannah and I became friends, we started making videos together. And then we made a movie together. And so I think people were vicariously feeling like they were part of our friendship,
right?
And feeling the same way with like you and Katie and everyone, yeah. You know? And so it's one of those things where you just sort of, you find the people that you stalk online, and we all do the same thing.
Yeah. It just blows my, I just feel like the reason why reality shows work is because they're forced. They're right in front of your face. They're on your TV. Like, cause you know, to watch that network.
Right. But now that's YouTube is TV. It's like, kids
it is
in
no,
the next
I know.
Generation don't watch television, they I watch know. YouTube, and so that's where they're finding their content. So it's like, it's really kind of arbitrary, but it also makes sense. There's a lot of like new cliques of people that sort of all rise together that are almost like their own pockets of reality television shows that are all kind of like growing together, which makes sense to me. It's like patterns repeating themselves.
Wait, so do the YouTubers get along with like the old Vine kids?
Yeah, there's a whole group of kids that are hugely popular now that started on Vine that all, when Vine died, moved over, and now they've become YouTubers, and they're like massive, massive, massive YouTubers. And there's I'm friends with a lot of them. There's obviously like pockets of friendships. I don't really know, because I feel like an older generation. I feel like the senior in high school, and I don't know who all the freshmen are now.
Right.
And who gets along with who. And like, because it's a business.
Oh, I love that shit.
It's nuts now when I hear stories or rumors about someone being difficult to work with or someone asking for an insane amount of money. I'm like, what are you doing? I said yes to everything for free, and I hustled as much as I could because I assumed the internet was going to go away tomorrow, and I just want to feel okay.
Listen, it's not. I want Vanderpump Rules to move to YouTube.
Yeah.
I want the kids to start watching.
Why don't you guys should start a YouTube channel. I mean, ancillary content, you guys just answering questions would be, I'm just saying, if you need a digital manager, I'm right here.
I need your like business mind. I need you to just...
I don't even have a business mind.
Yes, you do.
My friend Hannah has a business mind, and a lot of what my career has been modeled off of me getting advice and help from her and being like, help me figure this out. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is like, surround yourself with people that know what they're doing more than you do.
That's so true, because I never know what I'm doing, and I just will always say that to the people that I do surround myself with. I'm like, listen, I'm talent.
Yeah. I say to everyone, I'm like, honestly, this is not a slight to me. Treat me like I'm a 6-year-old. Oh. Over-explain everything and explain it
and
multiple
tell me,
times.
And tell me how great I am. Yeah. And I even tell my producers that. I go, let me tell you how to manipulate me.
Yeah.
The like being mean or telling me that like, Stas, you're not doing your job, you might lose your job if you don't like really step it up. That does not work.
I need positive reinforcement.
Yes. I need you to tell me how awesome I am. Yeah. I need you to feed me compliments, and then I will want to perform even more.
Yeah. It's like the like stage mom mentality, where you're like, I just want to be the best, but you just have to keep giving me compliments, feeding me treats until I get to the end line.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So when I watched your video with your boyfriend,
where
Brooks. You guys talked about how you just the first time, your first date, and you wore that, you wore a sweatshirt with a wolf on it,
which I literally almost wore today, but
God, that would have been, I wish you did.
It's just like my wardrobe is just sweatshirts and jeans. It's a very, very I've given up aesthetic.
The first time me and my boyfriend were, I guess, romantic-ish or whatever, he wore a shirt with a bear on it. It's like one of those fucking, you guys and your weird Napoleon Dynamite-y shirts.
But honestly, if you're going to see some, like, I'm of the mentality of, I want you to see, if you get into a relationship with me, what you're going to see in like 3 months right now and decide if you're into this.
I think that's fantastic. It's just, I would never wear one.
Yeah. Well, you have, look, your whole apartment is aesthetically amazing. Your style is great. You do outfits of the day, outfits of the night, all damn day.
I appreciate that.
But that's part of your brand.
It's the only thing that keeps me going. But what I really loved that you did in your video, and I want my listeners to hear this, for Valentine's Day, you guys ordered each other's other outfits. So I think this is a fantastic idea.
It's a great idea.
Even if it's not Valentine's Day, if you're in a relationship or not, or fuck it, even if you like just wanted to do this with your friend or like what they did is they said, we're just going to go on Amazon. I wish Amazon was sponsoring me right now.
To be fair, it was a brand deal. So I have to make sure people know that.
It was a, you do? You have to say that?
No, no, no. It's just very apparent. It's a brand deal in that video.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We definitely said it's a brand deal, but
I didn't catch that part.
But it is something that I have done in other relationships, too. Just that gimmick of,
oh, my God, you cheated. You used it with another boyfriend.
Well, it's a friend thing, too. It's the most fun. Honestly, it's like if you're going on a date night, if you're going for like a birthday, if you're going out for Valentine's Day and you tell each other you have $100 and you can go buy each other's outfits and then you have to wear them out. Like we wanted to wear them out. Yeah. It's the most fun thing.
Do you know how much this terrifies me? You know, like
with your relationship, I can imagine that there would be, a sense of fear.
It would be weird as fuck.
Well, you can set ground rules too. You can be like, no. I get like a veto of one item.
No, you know, cause it's like, if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
I would get him like tons of bedazzled things, like lots of gems, lots of jewels and sparkles.
It'd be perfect.
I think that was such a good idea that I want couples out there to try this.
It's a creative, easy date night thing to do if you're out of ideas. It's a very DIY date night and you don't even have to go out. It's just funny to see what the other person puts you in.
Yeah, I'm going to use this. Yeah. I put it in my notes.
There you go.
And another thing that I got from that video. So you're an introvert.
Yes, I am.
This is the thing. You're not. This is what you are.
You can explain it to me and then I will counter with why I am.
You're an ambivert.
What's that?
Exactly. So you can't counter me. You are somebody who you're outgoing in a sense that you're great at socializing and talking,
sure,
you know, and interacting with people. Sure. You're not Asperger-y whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But the way that you recharge your batteries is by being in
alone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, because everybody has this idea of like, oh, if you're an introvert, you're quiet and you're awkward and you can't, but that's not really what it is.
No. See, the definition, and I've done all the Myers-Briggs personality tests, is that everyone has a little bit of... Have you done those?
No, wait, I've done... I don't know if that's one... I've done so many different tests. I don't know if that's the one... Not in that way, but...
She's clean.
Lots of tests.
The Myers-Briggs is... I mean, speaking of relationships, is a really wonderful test to understand yourself and the person that you're dating and how compatible or incompatible you are.
Is that where your numbers?
It's like INFP, NF, like there's four letters that you are.
I did the number. The most recent one I did was like number. I'm a number. I'm like a number 8 or a...
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one, but sounds great.
I'll text it to you when I remember what it's called.
But the Myers-Briggs is really great. It takes like less than 15 minutes to do. As soon as I found it like 2 years ago, I got obsessed with it.
It takes less than 15 minutes? How you can't possibly...
But see, it changed. It's because it's basically asking you questions and asking you like on a scale of like yes or no, like how you would handle these certain situations. And so it's all quick and it does like your personality type changes as you get older.
Of course, yeah.
And it's always shifting. So it's like, I think I'm an INFP or an INFJ, and each letter category stands for something. So like the first one is I or E, like introvert or extrovert. And when you finish the test, it gives you the percentage of introvert versus extrovert you are.
Interesting.
So I'm more introverted, but I have extroverted tendencies. And I had this whole like thing, this spiel, when I was growing up, I was very, very shy. But I loved performing in this weird way, and I always wanted to perform, but I was always very, very shy socially. And so I always thought that it was negative, that you should want to be the life of the party. You should want to be the center of attention. And that just made me so overwhelmed, that concept. And so I always had this like sadness or like negative association with wanting to be alone a lot of times. And then when I realized that introvertedness isn't a negative, it just means that I lose energy being social.
I do as well. I've related to this. That's why I was convinced that you're an ambivert, because that's what I think I am. Because
what is ambivert?
Well, it's I like to be social, and I like to go out and talk to people and, or, you know, be out. It's not even about going out. You know, it's being around people and interacting with people. But there's a cutoff where I'm like, no, I can't talk anymore. I need to be by myself. I need to recharge my batteries. Like, whereas a lot of people, like when they get off work, the way they recharge their batteries is going out and being social. Fuck that.
Well, I have,
I couldn't do that.
I have a lot of friends. Like, it's funny too, because like my best friends, my boyfriends, have always been extroverts. They've always been people that don't want to be alone, that need to be out around other people, that get like sad or just sort of like uncomfortable when they're alone for too long, where I'm like, that's where I'm at my best.
No, I love being alone.
Or even just being alone with like a very small group of people.
Or one other person or something like that.
Right.
Yes.
And so they're people that gain energy around other people and then lose energy when they're by themselves. I lose energy around other people and gain energy by myself, which is...
That's how I feel.
Yeah. So you're an introvert, but with extroverted tendencies. Like, you should take this test.
It's 100% going to take this test.
Because also, there's another website. I'll write all of this down for you. It's fascinating, and you'll lose hours of your life to it, because you'll want all
of
your
friends. Good. I hope I do it alone.
You'll want
I lose hours of my life alone here.
You'll want all of your friends to take it, because then there's another website that shows you, once you find out like what personality type everyone is, what your compatibilities are. Like, some people are like, you know, kindred spirits. Some personality types are like interesting opposites. Some personality types are like, you're not going to get along with this person don't try.
Oh my God, the pressure of that though.
But it's fascinating, because I was going through a breakup, and it was just one of those relationships that was like, this should work on paper. Why hasn't this worked? And we're spending more time fighting for this to work than being in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so as we were breaking up, we like took the test, and once we got each other's personality types, we're like, oh my God, just by like personality definition, we are opposites that probably should be friends and not lovers. Like, it made it so much more comforting, the breakup, in a way, to know that it wasn't like one or the other person. It's just, we're just opposites, and we were fighting to try to be the same or to try to make the other person different.
Right.
And so it was just very... just comforting in a way. Yeah.
Well, what if you, did you take it with your current boyfriend?
I made him take it. Like right when we started dating, I was like, take this test. It's really important to me. And he's a personality type that is the same as a lot of my really close friends, that it's like, you're very compatible. And I was like, this makes sense that all of my friends that I enjoy spending the most amount of time with have this same personality type. And now I can start to see it in people that I meet, that I'm like, oh, you're probably one of those, because I feel this like very easy connection to you.
What if you would have gotten the same thing as like your ex-boyfriend or something that...
Yeah, I was like, oh God, please, just waiting for the text back of like, what are you? What are you? But I already had a feeling that it was going to be different. It was one of those kind of instinctual things, like polar opposite of the person I dated. So this has to be different, but who knows?
But see, that's how I feel about my current boyfriend. I'm like, there's no way it would be like, it could be a negative thing. It's like, we get along so well. Everything is just so easy. And he's just such a wonderful person. But what if there is that chance that we take that test and it's like, Warning.
It's all with a grain of salt, right? That it's like, these aren't the black and white definitions of who people are, but it is fascinating to see like just kind of the peeled back layers of the personality type. And a lot of times for people reading it, they're like, oh my God, yeah, that's me. Oh my God, this is creepy to read. Oh my God. And so they haven't even come to complete terms with like, that's part of their personality. So, I mean, you take all of it with a grain of salt. It's not, you know, an exact definition of who you are, who you're going to continue to be your whole life.
Well, I know what me and Beau are doing tonight.
There you go. It's a real fun time.
We're taking that fucking test.
It's also really fun because it tells you, like, my personality type is the mediator, or it's like someone that doesn't like conflict, but likes to communicate with people and like help people figure out like how to be better or do things and figure out problems. And there, so each personality type has like a thing like that with it. So yeah. It's really fun to go down and try and guess who all your friends are and then find out what they actually are. It's like March Madness. Oh.
Soccer references, just like, or I mean like sports references, soccer, whatever. Is it soccer or basketball? I don't fucking know. Sports references. I can't. I just, the only reason I knew it was a sports thing is because I dated somebody who did sports radio. Oh, so like, I legitimately was like, which sports
thing? Yeah, it's a PTSD from that.
Help me. Okay, do you watch the Kardashians?
I was going to ask you about this, but I don't religiously watch. They're kind of a show for me that literally if I'm on a plane and it's marathoning, I'm like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want to watch for 6 hours. It's fascinating to me. And then I just found out about the Khloe.
Okay. Yeah. I really want to discuss this because, okay, they've been on for almost 10 years. I have seen shows like because it's the only thing. We live in a communist country where the only thing we can watch is the Kardashians because it's the only thing that's on TV
constantly
at all times.
Yeah.
So I've seen episodes before, but I had never I had never marathoned it. I'd never committed to it until recently when I was hungover.
Yep, that's the best time to do it.
And I spent a fucking 9 hours on that couch.
And time doesn't exist.
It does. It blew my mind how much I enjoyed myself.
And when you break down exactly what's happening, they are talking to each other on a couch.
While then they eat salads.
Right. Then they're talking to each other on another couch. Then they're working out and talking to each other.
Then they're in their closet talking to each other.
It is the most simple thing. But the fact that they are these mega stars is just so fascinating. And the fact that their tone of voice is so monotone.
I know. And I love it.
It's like hypnotic in a way. It is.
I legitimately I love when Courtney comes on in her interviews. Yeah. I'm just worried about Scott because he's been drinking and I just, I just really need a change. That's it.
And everyone's going to meme it and she's going to get 10 million more followers. It's nuts.
If I were to cast a reality show, they would be the last people in the audition process that I would cast. Be like, fuck no. Zero energy.
Yeah.
Boring. Brings nothing to the table.
Yeah.
Like all of us in Vanderpump Rules, we're trying to throw drinks in each other's faces. Do whatever the fuck we can and make it interesting.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there eating their fucking salads.
That's the most fascinating thing is how mundane their lives are portrayed, but how insane their lives are when you look at them online, when you see the paparazzi that surrounds all their cars, when you see the stories that they must go through and read about themselves constantly.
Yeah.
It's so curated, and that's what is so fascinating, that you know that there's a whole nother world back there that they don't show on camera that must be the most nuts ever.
Well, one of our producers worked on their show as well.
Okay.
And I know they said that, I will say this, she said that they were actually really nice and really hard workers, and very professional, and just they know what they're doing. And
that's the thing you can't fault them on, is they know exactly what their brand is and they know exactly how to build their brand up and elevate everything that they're doing. They're so smart in such a bizarre way.
It's just not fair because it's lazy reality television. And it's like maybe I'm just so jealous. Because I want to be able to just be a lazy.
They're your competition, so I can't relate to this, but I can understand on a fundamental level why you would be upset.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You guys, this isn't fair. I go to my producer, I'm like, why can't we do that?
Yeah, I'll sit on my couch.
Please, yes, just let us talk about whatever. And at the end of every episode, everything's resolved. The family's back together.
And it's always one... It's the smallest thing. It's like, I put a tracker on Kim's car.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
that's
you're
it.
Like, and that's then the Kim episode. Finds out. She goes, I can't believe you. And then it's it. And then
that's it.
Done. Yeah. But they worked out 6 times all through the episode somehow. I don't.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
I'm really wrestling with the whole thing because, and especially now, I feel like I was cheated on. like with this whole Tristan thing. Like, I feel very upset. It has affected me.
I think about it a lot.
You heard this morning?
No. Here, I heard this morning that
she had her baby.
Right, but that
the Kim spit on him.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
I just found that out right before you got here.
I heard that. Why am I blanking on the mom?
Chris.
Chris curated the whole news drop that she knew back in October, but she wasn't going to let it hit the public because Chloe was still like 6 months pregnant, and so she manifested in the timeline as to when it would drop.
Are you serious?
That was something someone said to me this morning that they saw on the internet. And as we all know, the internet never lies about anything ever.
I would do that.
But it's also...
If I found out that if I had a daughter and I found out that
she was finally in a good relationship.
Yes, she's fucking 6 months pregnant and that dude is fucking around. You bet your ass I would find a way to crucify that person in the most epic way possible.
Right.
Kris Jenner, you know what? Kris Jenner's my new idol. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. I'm sorry, that's justice.
She's done... I have no idea what the reality of the behind the scenes is, but when you think about her as a momager of that whole family and as this like overlord of like, I imagine her looking at like a goddamn Game of Thrones.
I was just about to say she would win the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that she's moving chess pieces and making, but at the same time with the intention of keeping her family safe. I don't even know. It's so like, what do you do in that scenario if you have that information? Let's say hypothetically this is real. In that situation, if you're Kris Jenner and you know it's October, it's now April, so she's been sitting on this information or this news for 6 months.
So Chloe did it. So okay, what you heard, you heard that,
so what I heard is like Kris found out back at the end of last year, since this happened in October, and that video footage, you know, wasn't sitting behind bars for like,
I thought that was from the other day.
No, it was from like back in October that he cheated. And so,
well, meaning the video footage of him kissing a girl was the other day.
Yeah, it came out the other day.
But wasn't it the other day?
No, I heard it was back in October.
It was on social media, I thought.
I heard that the club thing was back in October and then the club footage. And so that she's been holding on to that until this very moment to leak it, to make it the ultimate, like, that's all rumors. Don't trust a goddamn thing I say. This is me just repeating things I've heard this
morning. So, did Chloe know about it?
I have no idea. My assumption was that she was holding on to it, one, for Chloe's sake, but two, who knows? If Chloe knew and was like, fuck this guy, wait till, like, I'll pretend I don't know. But I have no idea. No idea. That's the thing about the Kardashians is that when one little domino falls, 10,000 conspiracy theories fall next to it.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was convinced before I had that binge, that hungover binge watching thing.
Yeah.
I was convinced that the Paris thing was fake. And now, after watching
this season,
I'm like, I don't think it was fake anymore. I think that was totally real.
I don't think, I mean, people might say that
Yeah,
people might say that the Kardashians are like, you know, superficial and attention seeking and X, Y, and Z. But something like that, I really think is not something that they would ever, ever manifest in like a fake way. It seems too much.
I can't even my mind is blown right now that like Kris might have been.
It's alleged. Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't looked in. I literally was in a creative meeting this morning and someone brought it up and I was like, what? Because I just caught up on all of it last night.
Was this person someone who did this person say it with like conviction?
They said that they read this morning that
they read it.
Yeah, that they read news stories that people are saying Kris knew and was waiting to drop. Like, it's all been a very timed and calculated drop of this, because it is very coincidental that it's happening.
She just had her baby today
at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's like there is a little bit of speculation of like how coincidental the timing was of all of that. I have no idea. And that's one of those things that like, thank God I'm not a Kardashian, because that seems way too intense.
I totally want to be a Kardashian. It's like the women rule the world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I feel so scared for any male that comes into
that
family.
But that's what I mean, right? It's like that. Tristan, where's the... common sense. He seemed like a decent guy.
He seemed, no, I fell in love with Tristan. I was watching those episodes. I'm like, Chloe finally found a good
she
one.
She deserves love.
I'm now questioning my own relationship. I'm like, what the fuck? Is he tricking me?
Is he a con man? What's going on?
Because this, I totally fell for Tristan. I thought that was like, I can't believe how invested I am. I really need hobbies.
But that's the sign of a good reality television show. It sucks you in. But they have so much scandal and they get cheated on so much.
Yes.
That it makes me wonder, like, what's going on?
Maybe they're just okay with it, too. I mean, I've been thinking about it lately. Like, if I had that much money and was so successful.
Also,
and
if
had
you were
this-
raised the way with the OJ Simpson thing and their dad and all of that, and you're raised in this chaos, you don't know what normal is.
That's true.
And I don't think that they, I don't think they would feel comfortable if their lives were like in the suburbs without cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my theory.
That's actually, no, that's a really good point.
Because you forget that their dad was, you know, OJ's like good friend, and that they had that entire childhood surrounded by one of like the biggest scandals in history. So it's like, that's what I always forget when I watch the reality show. And then I'm like, oh, right. They must have so much trauma from growing up and from like people associating them with their dad and their dad being associated to OJ Simpson and giving them the shit and like all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers.
You're right. God bless the Kardashians.
They're doing it. Also, remember that Kim Kardashian was Paris Hilton's assistant. I have to remember that.
That is the best. She was organizing closets.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is the fucking best.
Whenever I watch it and I'm like, and she's like launching her new like amethyst this and all of that, I'm like, you and Paris Hilton have the most hilarious photo of you guys with matching Louis Vuitton bags.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, she's come a long way.
God,
nuts.
Goals.
I mean, yeah. To come back from a sex tape being the thing that you're famous for, and now you're like the goal of businesswoman.
That, though, is
not her fault.
No, it she had to sign off on that. I feel like this was a moment of where she knew what she was doing, because when that started happening, I don't know if you know this, that like season right after when season 2, I think, was airing.
Oh, no. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. My ex-boyfriend, Frank Herlihy, like calling him out whenever I can now, since I wasn't allowed to back then.
Yeah.
Tried selling a video of me to everyone. He couldn't. I mean, because I wouldn't allow it.
Right.
Like I mean, obviously, like I had lawyers and everything like that. That was like a big deal. But I learned during that time
that you have to sign off for someone to be able to
distribute,
mass produce it.
To distribute it. To even TMZ, I mean, they all watched it, but they wouldn't even put it up there because, so not even just distribute it, like, or so.
Just present it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
so that's, I mean, they might have been, you know, she might have been in front of her Game of Thrones board right back then.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, whatever you want, whatever your own, whatever your own journey is.
Everyone's got a different one. And no, I mean, no one is wrong. No one is right.
Yeah. So, but I feel, what are the kids saying nowadays? I feel shook.
Shook.
I feel shook by all of this Tristan shit. I feel shook by Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan splitting up.
But that was that a mutual thing? Nothing. That was no
care.
Like tragedy. Then
it's
right?
Making me not believe in. It's like what's happening?
So who's your couple goals? Because when Anna Faris and Chris Pratt,
that was really hard. That was a really hard one too. Yes, I 100%. And especially because I've listened to her podcast a few times and just like here, she seemed so sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I was like, oh, fuck. Did he just like get really attractive and then, you know, get Jurassic World and then all of a sudden it's like doesn't work anymore?
I don't know. Who knows? And when you are both that popular and your schedules are so unaligned, like sometimes it's like this is more work than it's worth. It feels like it's just a bummer because you're like, you're funny and beautiful and you're funny and now beautiful. So like this makes sense. It was a bummer.
I guess the only one that's left is, and it's not even that big of a,
is Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, just because I think Ryan Reynolds is hysterical.
Oh, and he just got challenged about his relationship and just like clapped back about it. And I was like, this makes me like them even more.
Yeah.
This
he's like, actually, I could really use some alone time.
Yeah. I was like, all right, great. That's the best way to do it.
Okay, we're still going to believe in love.
Yeah.
When Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds break up.
Yes.
Text me, because I might be in the fetal position, just rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some questions before you go from some Twitter people.
Awesome.
I got this from a lot of people. Everyone just wants to know your fucking new projects. Are you doing a third book? Are you doing another movie? Oh. Are you doing...
I mean, it's hard. It's this like the most stereotypical and annoying thing that like YouTubers say is like, I can't really say anything about stuff.
I mean, that's what everybody. I understand.
There is a book in the works that I don't want to say too much about because it's just like there is something in the works. I'm still trying to figure it out, so I'll feel more confident talking about it when I know exactly what it is. But I want it to be different than my first two books and something that's a little bit more personal and a little bit more. More of a book. Like my first two were like kind of comedy self-help guides, and so I want this one to feel different. So I really want to figure it out before I start really talking about it, but the seed is planted there. Mamrie and I have a show on YouTube now that we're doing called This Might Get, that we're doing 5 days a week now, which has been really fun, and that's happening. And then just trying to get some other stuff going, trying to get some shows or just anything, basically doing a lot of pitching of stuff, so developing things. And I always say this whenever people ask, like, you will know, I will let people know as soon as there is something to talk about,
right?
But yeah, just trying to get stuff going.
It's one of my least favorite questions to be asked, so I'm so sorry that I asked you
it's totally valid, because a lot of times you forget, like, you know, when you're like, oh yeah, what else am I doing? Oh, there's I work with this company called OK 1984, and we have some jewelry pieces coming out soon. That'll be really cool. It's like best friend jewelry.
You forgot.
Yeah, exactly. So there's stuff that's all trying to happen, but the timelines aren't specific yet to be like, it's happening at this exact point.
Right, totally. Yeah. But shit to look forward to.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, another one. And this is by @HellBigSparkle. So someone has either your last name or did this for you. Did a Twitter account for you.
Perfect.
Have you ever made a decision that you regretted at the time, but now you're glad you made it?
Have I ever made a decision that I regretted at the time, but now I'm glad I made it? Oh, that's a tough question.
It's such a tough question. It's like so broad. You're like, you have to just like go back way.
That I regretted at the time that I'm glad I made it. I'm sure there's been auditions that have come up that I've been like, no, I definitely don't want to do that, because I'm tall and blonde. So a lot of the auditions that I get called in for are like sexy wife, and I don't want to play those parts. Like, I want to play funny, and I want to not play like done up. And so I'm sure there's plenty of things.
I'll take sexy wife.
Yeah, I'll forward you the emails when they come in next time.
You ungrateful little bitch.
Oh, right. I'll think on that one. If I come up with something more specific, I'll let you know. But I usually, anything that comes up that I'm like, ugh, I repress deep down and try not to think about it.
Okay. I mean, good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you watch, you do watch The Housewives.
Oh, but big time.
But what is your favorite, which one?
Franchise?
Yes.
Ooh, I mean, I'm from New Jersey, so obviously I love New Jersey.
That's the only one I don't watch.
Well, see, I went to college in the county that they're all from and live in, and I taught tennis in that county in Franklin Lakes, which is like the town that they all supposedly live in. So that one just felt like, oh, kind of weirdly close to home. I mean, I love Orange County.
I love Orange County, too.
They're really great, but... Orange County, there's this new thing that is so much more fascinating to me than like the new franchises, which is that, you know, the Tamaras and Vicky Gundelsons of the world have been on for so long that now they're having this like new psychological development of like wondering what their storylines, like it seems a little like preemptively planning what they want to happen, and a lot of their... especially like social media plays such a part now, where they're like, you tweeted this about me, or I saw it on the blogs. The amount of time I hear I saw it or I read it on the blogs in episodes where they're calling each other out.
Right.
Like, this is just so fascinating to see how now they, like, I've
now gotten to the point where if there's a major fight happening on an episode, I look up their Twitter to be like, what are they saying to each other right now?
They do, you know, Housewives Twitter fight more than any other fucking reality show.
Do you guys do that?
I don't.
Okay. Do people from... Or do you feel a need, like, if there's an episode to be like, I have to explain myself in this situation or add more context to this?
I don't really like to do that. Katie used to drunkenly do that at 3. Like, I would wake up in the morning and be like, oh, no. And I would look at Katie's Twitter and just, I was like, what time was that? Oh, no. She was drunk.
Yikes.
Some of us do, like Jax gets super sensitive about shit. Sheena does.
Jax liked my tweet about you being on my podcast. He doesn't follow me at all, but just randomly liked my tweet. And I was like, what is he searching? Is he just searching all of your names?
That is so random. Yeah. Shout out to Jax. Thank you for that.
Thanks for the like.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll take it.
I don't know. I just think it's so... I feel like people who, I might get in trouble for this, but people who fight via Twitter, like it kind of just shows like that you have like lesser intelligence or your brain is kind of underdeveloped. Like really, like there are more important things than like just getting into a Twitter war.
If you're using it as a platform to defend yourself, if something's been taken out of context.
And of course, we've all defended ourselves and I have defended myself, but go back and forth with.
But that's the thing, is that I've learned firsthand on the internet that anything you post online, you can delete your tweet within 2 seconds afterwards. It's screen grabbed by 100 people. It doesn't go away at all whatsoever.
Nothing you ever put out goes away. You can put out a podcast and have it taken down within an hour and it doesn't matter. People
will still bring it up. People are like crazy.
Never goes away.
I think. But I do love Beverly Hills and I love New York. They're all...
New York is my favorite.
New York's really great. I mean, speaking of Dorinda and all them, Sonia Morgan is the most fascinating character to me.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
I think Sonia Morgan is the most underrated reality star. She is just... How unaware she is just, it's beautiful.
It's also one of those, like, am I being conned? Is she super aware and playing this part? Like, I really don't think so.
I don't think so.
But it still makes me wonder, this season's going to be insane. Luann goes to rehab. It's going to be nuts.
Oh, I'm so excited. Wait, I know that Sonia, I wonder if I'm like, whatever, fuck it. I know that Sonia is that unaware because just like a little, so she got a podcast with my podcast company before I did, but didn't realize like
what it was.
It's a little too much that like.
She has to host for an hour.
She had to, she canceled it like right away, like a few episodes. And that to me is just so fucking Sonia.
But like, that's when she used to do her like, what would she call those like shows?
Toast?
Where she's burlesque shows. And she would do them and she's like clearly drunk and they'd all show up and be at the table. And I guess it was like a charity event or something. And she's like singing this weird like burlesque jazz number and like like shaking her ass on this stage, and even the editing you could tell tried to make it seem more interesting, but I was like, this is seasons ago, and I'm like, I just want to see the unedited full version of that show.
Fantastic.
It must have been the most awkward thing to watch ever, but I would have loved it. It would have been fantastic.
The New York Housewives love doing burlesque. Like, isn't Luann doing that now?
I don't know what Luann's doing now.
I'm sorry, but I have an obsession with Luann because I watch her music videos on the reg. I literally sat in Paris with my friends, like, after, like, a day of, like, being around. We're like, I'm tired. Like, I need to have, like, my, like, 5 o'clock nap time.
Yeah.
We would go back to our Airbnb and just... look on the TV and just repeat her music videos over and over again for relaxation because you just laugh. It's like orgasming.
Yeah.
When you laugh really
laugh
hard.
Therapy too.
It's like I just have this release of like, this is fantastic.
I've never seen one of her music videos.
Oh my God, Grace.
I have to watch it.
Please go home and look up her music videos.
So Maymarie and I, we were doing a little bit of press for this new YouTube show and we went and did KTLA out here at like 8 a.m. and Erika Jane walked walked into the dressing room and we showed up like our own hair and makeup, like because it's 8 a.m. and we're like, our demo doesn't watch the 8 o'clock news, like, or 8 a.m. like good morning news. We don't need to look our best. We're going on for 3 minutes. Erica Jane came in full glam squad, full, like, she was wearing like a sweatsuit, but like looked incredible. And Mamie and I just looked at each other like, you freaking out? Yeah, I'm freaking out. Act cool. What do people do? How do you sit normal? All right, we're sit like this. Great. Okay.
Oh, wait, no. The rest, my whole cast, we still do what you do.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Sheena comes in with a glam squad. There are a couple that come in with a glam squad, but no, we still do our own shit. We're just like,
I'm fascinated because you guys must go to all of these events or like upfronts and things like that with all of the housewives,
and they all the housewives have, it's like it's like they're all Mariah Carey.
I went to I used to have a show on E, and I went to one of the upfronts, which is E and Bravo together, yeah, in New York. And one of the greatest moments, actually, the Kardashians were there, like three of them. I think it was like Kourtney and Kim and Chris.
I remember that year. I didn't go, but I remember that year seeing photos.
And it was Tamra from Orange County, and Vicky, and who's the other blonde one that screams a lot that just got divorced?
From Orange County?
Orange County.
They're all, this is going to kill me.
It's going to kill me too, because I think I follow her on Instagram now.
That just got divorced? Orange from County.
Her husband was found cheating on her, and then I'm going to lose my mind if I can't remember this. Is her name?
Oh my god, do I just, let me just look it up real fast.
Yeah,
hold up.
There's billion people screaming into their Alexas right now being like, it's the Heather
Dubrow?
No, not Heather Dubrow. No, not Heather Dubrow. No.
Real Housewives. Come on. That needed to be the first one to come up. Housewives Orange. Okay. I'm looking. Who the fuck are you talking about? Are you talking about her that got cheated on? Oh, they got cheated on. Yeah. What's her name again? Oh, fuck.
That's why I'm losing my mind.
Oh, my God. I just looked at the photo. That's Shannon.
Shannon.
Oh, my God. That would have really hurt.
Oh, God.
That would have really hurt.
I'm sorry to everyone that had to deal with that for a second.
Yeah, but I'm not going to. I don't edit shit out, so I'm going to let everybody just sit and
just scream. Yes. The three of them like came in from behind, and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were so lit. It was perfect. And I was like by myself with like a publicist
from
the show.
Do you mean lit as in like on drugs?
No, they were shit faced, and it was great, but not even shit faced like too much.
Or I didn't know if they were like lit, like as in like they had like camera. Oh, the right lighting. No.
They were just like, they were very, and they were behind me going, did we finish the fireball? Yeah, you took the last shot. And I was like, they're perfect. It was like the best conversation I could have overheard for 3 seconds.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And then they went and did the carpet, and they were just great. And I was like, oh my God, they're perfect.
There is this thing about Bravo people where we are all alcoholics. Most of us are functioning alcoholics.
Right.
But we all drink. Like, we just did the Watch What Happens Live thing where, like,
yeah, what was that?
Where it's like, because they were doing it in LA on like in a big, at the Wiltern.
Oh, yeah.
So they had like 30 of us come. I was the first. I'm so sick of being on time to shit. I literally say this to all my producers. I'm like, I'm so sick of being on time because none of my cast members are ever on time.
Yeah.
I was the first Bravo person there. I'm are you telling me out of every cast, I'm still the first person here?
Oh, my God.
Fuck this. But there was a bar. And when I say it was in the dressing rooms, I'm like, oh, my God, we're not the only ones who are.
Yeah,
those crazy alcoholics that just need to be drinking.
Same cloth.
It's like this weird thing. Bravo people were drinkers.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that they cast all you guys, because they give you some alcohol and put you on camera and see what happens.
Yeah, listen, I only choose jobs based on whether I can drink during that.
I only choose entertainment in which I'm in control of the editing process.
See, you're more business-minded than you think.
Oh, God, but no, we're all the same. Mamrie, Hannah, and I do live shows, and we have a bottle of Fireball backstage that when we run off and on stage, we're just doing shots, to the point that we've had to like move our meet and greets from after our shows to before our shows.
Oh, that's smart.
It's the most genius thing we've ever changed in our whole
lives. Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, because there's been times at meet and greets where we have to like
whisper to each other, like, get it together, get it together, get yeah. it together. Yeah, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's all the same thing.
Yeah, Fireball is our reunion drink of choice.
It's really good. We've had too much of it that we're trying to wean off of it. It's now become that thing where it feels like the drink you had in college where you're like, ugh, totally. Gag reflex every time you think about it. Yeah.
Shout out to Fireball.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Of course, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're fucking hysterical.
Vice versa. And well, thank you for doing my podcast to begin with.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. So
yeah, it's,
and plug everything that you want to plug. Everyone go follow Grace at Grace Helbig.
Yeah, Grace Helbig everywhere. The new show with Mamrie is called This Might Get. YouTube.com/ThisMightGet. And the podcast is Not Too Deep. You can listen to it everywhere. Also, I had a question. You follow 666 people on Instagram. Is that specific?
Yeah, it is. Oh, so okay. When I follow someone, I unfollow somebody else. And today I woke up and saw, or it's at some point today, I'm like, why does it only say 665? Did someone block me?
Well, I was like, this feels like it's specific. If it's not, it's the weirdest coincidence of all time.
You would be my 667.
I was like, sure, I'll take it. Take it.
No, now I need to find somebody else to follow right now.
Are you following Dorinda?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. So that was me telling myself to do.
Now I'm stressed out again because you reminded me of the 666 thing. Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, someone blocked me. All right. bye, y'all. Thanks.
Bye. Yeah.